Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 350, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. With joy I heard my friends exclaim, come, let us in God's temple meet. Within thy gates, O Zion blessed, shall ever stand our willing feet. And what follows, Psalter 350, the first three stanzas.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Isaiah 40, the verses 12 through 31. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Isaiah 40, beginning at the 12th verse through the end. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the idols as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? The workman melteth the graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and cast the silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faineth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord, thou who art so great, wonderful in counsel, excellent in working, and then we have heard out of thy holy word of thy mighty works, creation, providence, and by thy grace. And then each time by renewal, then it is so needful when we as a company of poor sinners, congregation of young and old, when by renewal with our unclean lips we draw nigh unto thee, who art high and lifted up, that each time by renewal we may receive profound impressions of thy majesty, of thy glory, of all thy attributes, and to that end, that we may receive our rightful place, and that is poor sinners in the dust, that thereby the luster of thy glory may show forth, and also in that context, that we may be given to see, to be given to experience the exceeding sinfulness of our sin, and that we stand in need of a mediator as we approach unto thee. Thou hast recorded in thy holy word of the prophet when in a vision he was given to see the cherubims With two wings they have covered their faces, with two their feet, and with two they have flown in holy obedience unto thee. And when they have cried out, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, that he was given to confess, Woe unto me, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people with unclean lips. But, O Lord, we have heard out of thy holy word that thou art a God that fainteth not, that are not weary, where thou continuest to work. And to that end we humbly beg of thee in this hour that thou may manifest thyself as that great, that merciful God who can save to the uttermost, that thy word may be blessed for the conversion of sinners, the uncovering of false foundations, but also for thy Zion. We have heard a people that is weary, that is faint, but now it is thy work by word and by spirit to encourage them by an eye of faith to look upon thee, the great God, for whom nothing is too wonderful, nothing is impossible, and where there is mercy for the chiefest of sinners, may in this evening, may sinners have come up indeed. May there have been a few publicans, and if it is not so, that during this service, that Pharisees may become publicans, and that by the first time, but also by renewal, with a simple prayer, God be merciful to me, a sinner. May it please thee to richly bless thy word in the family circles, in the church, and also in our Christian school. We commend unto thee thy church worldwide, the established churches. Do remember the theological school, the instructors and the students. May their number be increased. Do continue, and thou shalt uphold the persecuted church, where they suffer much, many fears also in this day. Remember those in prison for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. We commend unto thee the Jewish nation in the midst of all the enmity. May it please thee to remove the veil and remember those who may confess the Messiah, where they have been cast out of the family circles and out of the community. Wilt thou grant them faith to look upon the King of the Church, who shall never forsake the work of his own hands. We commend unto thee our mission field, thy servant the team, the husband and wife studying the language. Remember the people in Peru, and may it also please thee to provide for them. We commend unto thee Bible translators, and those that bring thy word to the far corners of the earth, may it be richly blessed by thee and accompanied by unceasing prayer. Lord, do provide for our temporal needs. Continue to provide for the daily bread, for our family circles. We commend unto thee all mourning ones, widowers, widows, half orphans, those that have brought children and other dear ones to the grave. Oh, do continue to uphold them Remember the elderly ones. Remember our Bethesda, the residents and those who may lovingly care for them. And do remember all the sick and afflicted under the physician's care in special ways. May the means be blessed. May the prayers be multiplied. And above all, the calling sanctified. Do remember the handicapped ones. Remember the crosses, the burdens. And Lord, do remember those that struggle with weakness and difficulties of the mind. Remember those that struggle with addictions and with temptations. And do remember prodigal sons and prodigal daughters. We commend our poor country unto thee, the leaders federally, provincially, and do also remember our town. Do work mightily by thy Spirit in the hearts of young and old, and may thy word have a special place. Lord, then by renewal we ask thee, because each time is a new time, do grant thy help. The leading of thy Spirit, may thy word go forth with power divine. And we ask it all with an impression, and may we experience and feel it more and more, forfeited, undeserved, unthankful creatures. Ah, Lord, thou hast a people that learn more and more that it is all of grace, that it comes from above. It is the work of the Spirit in the heart of thy true children that Christ becomes so necessary and precious as prophet, priest, and king. Grant then a good hour in thy house with thy special presence, thy special blessing. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 259, the first four stanzas. As sing to the Lord, sing his praise, all ye peoples. New be your song, as no honors ye pay. As sing of his majesty, bless him forever. As show his salvation from day to day. And what follows, Psalter 259, the first four stanzas.
Thank you.
in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 35, the question and answers 96 through 98. Question 96, what doth God require in the second commandment? Answer, that we in no wise represent God by images, nor worship him in any other way than he has commanded in his word. Question 97, are images then not at all to be made? Answer, God neither can nor may be represented by any means, but as to creatures, though they may be represented, yet God forbids to make or have any resemblance of them, either in order to worship them or to serve God by them. Question 98, but may not images be tolerated in the churches as books to the lady? Answer, no. For we must not pretend to be wiser than God, who will have his people taught not by dumb images, but by the lively preaching of his word. Lord's Day 35 speaks of the second commandment, how God must be worshipped, with four thoughts in the first place, spiritual imagery. Secondly, spiritual worship. Thirdly, spiritual instruction. And in the fourth place, spiritual arguments. The second commandment, how God must be worshipped. A spiritual imagery, a spiritual worship, a spiritual instruction, and spiritual arguments. Beloved congregation, in this evening, then we have before us the second commandment. And in the context in our Heidelberg Catechism, then it is in the part of gratitude for the people of God. Of course, it includes all of us, because the commandments, they come to the whole congregation, and it has pleased the instructors when they have spoken of the law already at the beginning of the catechism for the uncovering of our misery, that they have not given an explanation in that place, but that they have done so in the part of gratitude. And then in the part of gratitude for the child of God, then how uncovering and how ashaming. And it is a privilege and a blessing. And the closer life that a child of God may have to the Word and to the throne, the more exercised he shall be with these matters. And now our first thought, and let us add congregation concerning the commandments, that we could speak of many differences. We could speak of transgressing knowingly or ignorantly. We could speak of transgressing against admonishments, against the Lord's goodness and callings. We could speak of planned transgressions or transgressions that overtake us in the way of infirmity, as of Peter in the hall of Caiaphas when he has denied his master. And then concerning our sins, that is an important question. How is it now with our sins? Are they still unrepented of sins without that godly sorrow and seeking for pardon? It is so needful, that godly sorrow that worketh to repentance, and the need to be washed in the precious blood of his dear Son. And now the second commandment, the first commandment, that speaks of whom we must worship. And the second commandment that speaks of how we are called to worship according to the holy word of God. And now concerning, because this Lord's Day that speaks of making pictures, images, and then in question 97, it is asked whether images may at all be made. And then it is clear that God cannot and may not be represented by any means, but that other, of course, we may draw pictures, statues, but we may never make a statue or an image of the living God. We have heard it out of Isaiah 40, different texts. In verse 18, by whom then will ye liken God, or what likeness will ye compare with him? In verse 25, to whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One. Tis so needful that we continually receive profound impressions of whom the Lord is, high and lifted up, majestic and glorious, that he is so righteous and so merciful. And we read in John 4, verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship by the Spirit. Thus, the Lord can and may not be represented by any image or by any pictures. Also, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the first place, no one knows how he has looked like in his human nature. And in the second place, we may not separate the human from the divine. To that end, we must refrain from portraying the Holy Spirit as a dove. Thus, the instructors are very clear, God neither, that we in no wise represent God by images, nor worship him in any other way than he has commanded in his word. And then God neither can nor may be represented by any means. And now the second commandment that is transgressed, and we shall find out in here that we are all transgressors. But the second commandment, the Roman Catholic Church, they have combined the first and the second commandment to try to camouflage their image worship. And thus it speaks against all false religions that try to represent God by images or that worship God through images. Because for many heathens, at least the wiser ones, undoubtedly there have been foolish heathens that maybe really thought that their image, their tree, or their stone was God. But the wiser ones, then they have seen their image as a means through which they may worship God. And so also the Roman Catholic Church, then they also have images in their church, as we later hope to hear, concerning spiritual instruction as a help for their members. We have different examples in the Bible of the transgression against the second commandment. Already soon, after the Lord has spoken off Mount Sinai, also the second commandment, and when Moses was on the mount for 40 days in the presence, the special presence of God, to receive the two tables and to receive instruction concerning the building of the tabernacle, then we know what has happened. Then Aaron, he did not say no to the people. He has asked them to bring their gold, hoping they would not do so. Then we see what a dangerous thing it is to partly give in. And then they have made a golden calf. Egypt also worshipped a calf. And now the Israelites, they were not so dumb that they thought that that golden calf was their God. But they have cried out, "These be thy gods, O Israel, that have brought us out of Egypt." Thus a desire that they had something that they could see, a golden calf through which they could worship the Lord, when Moses did not return. And then Aaron saw it. And then he built an altar, because we have not fallen out of our religion. And then he has said unto the children of Israel, tomorrow is a feast unto the Lord. And they have brought burnt offerings. But Moses became angry, and the Lord very displeased with the children of Israel so soon after they have heard it, "I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, that they have made a golden calf, that through that golden calf they had a desire to worship the Lord." Think of Jeroboam, the 10 tribes, and Bethel and Dan, they have made a golden calf. Thus God may not and cannot be represented by images. Our second thought, spiritual worship. Then maybe so far, then we are quite well pleased, because we do not have images, idols, literally in the church. And the Roman Catholic Church, they have images of saints in crosses, crucified Christ. We do not have those things, thus may be thus far well pleased. But now this commandment is also very broad, and it also declares that we may not worship God as an image. What do we mean, boys and girls? If it had now happened that the stranger has come into church and he smuggled an image, an idol, and put it in the bench with the face, of course, if that was seen, we must immediately carry it out. But then, boys and girls, you can understand if there was now such an image placed in the bench, let's say made of stone, and we would look at that image, and that under the sermon there was spoken of hell and also of heaven, and we would look at that face of that image, then that image would not even twitch, would not change, would remain the same. Then I think what you mean. Then I think you understand what I mean. That perhaps we must say, Lord, that is now my picture so oftentimes when I sit in God's house, that I resemble an image, that the most solemn preaching, no tears, no emotion, that I remain so cold and so unfeeling. Is that our difficulty? And maybe sometime we even think, when you have an image of stone and you place it in the daytime in the sunshine and you feel that image, boys and girls, then that image becomes warm. And if you leave that image outside on a cold winter day and you feel that image, then that image has become cold. Thus that image still changes. Do we have to confess? Concerning the second commandment, no, literally, we do not have idols and images in the house of God. But the resemblance, is that our picture? And are there times that we are troubled with it? That we tell the Lord on the Lord's Day evening, after we have faithfully come up to church, Lord, I have sat in thy house. I have did my best to listen with my mind. I can remember what was said, but how is it now possible, Lord, under the message of law and gospel, the seriousness of life, and we have experienced in our midst such solemn callings, Lord, that I could sit in thy house so cold and so unfeeling. Oh, Lord, seems that nothing will break this hard heart of mine then there is only one hope. We have heard it. Out of Isaiah 40, of that great and majestic God, then we need to pray much for the Spirit. People of God, how is it with us? Must we also confess with everything experienced that also in God's house can be so cold, so unfeeling, a so little preparation, and it leaves so little behind? Lord, how am I thus? If it is now true in my life, shall it then not be different? Oh, God's true people, they do know of different times. It can be that they literally tremble on their bench when they have an impression of whom God is and the sinner that I am. But now concerning our second thought, a spiritual worship, we have heard it from answer number 94 in Lord's Day 34, that we learn rightly to know the only true God. And now concerning that spiritual worship, when we bow our knees, to make it very simple, which God do we address? What are our thoughts of the God which we speak to? Do well to examine ourselves. Which God do we address in prayer? Is it a God concerning all his attributes, or only some? And then for all those that have a teaching position, wherever it may be, how do we portray the Lord for our dear children? Do we arouse to a holy jealousy? Do we speak only of some of the attributes of God that we portray, that the Lord is only just and he is very just, cannot overlook one of our sins, but that we speak of the justice of God without speaking of his condescending mercy, of the Lord's goodness? The Father has given his dear Son that poor sinners may be saved. Do we have an impression, boys and girls, that the Lord is eyes? Of course, not really, because God is a spirit. He is present in God's house, and even in a special way. And I read in 1 Corinthians 11 that the angels are also present. But do we have profound impression that the Lord is everywhere present and that he sees everything, even when our parents do not see? We have stated that in the explanation, it is in the context of gratitude. And then our Lord's Day also condemns the great sin of unbelief. That is the greatest sin there is. No, it is not a mark of grace. Although the true child of God, what a trouble he can have with that unbelief. That prayer of that father with that very sick boy, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And now concerning our second thought, for the child of God with his riddles, is God in Christ not wisdom himself when they come in such mysterious ways? Then how quickly they can become discouraged, nigh to despair, when there are impossibilities. Does the child of God truly believe that the Lord is almighty? All power is given unto him in heaven and upon earth. Moses, when the Lord has said in the midst of a murmuring people that they would all eat flesh, then did Moses believe that the Lord could do all things? Moses has even said, and he has experienced much, experienced the plagues, the almighty power of the Lord. Moses, is the Lord still the same? Or has your God become smaller? Does he not have an almighty hand? And then Moses has said to the Lord, Lord, shall all the flocks be slain and all the fishes caught in the sea? And it would not suffice. Thus concerning our second point, then it concerns the exercise of true saving faith by the immediate working of the Holy Spirit concerning who God is. The Lord in his mercy has given many beautiful examples in the scriptures concerning that true spiritual worship, has given the Psalms of David profound experiential experience. Oh, think of Psalm 86, called the Prayer of David. Psalm 145, David's Psalm of Praise. Then in the Psalms, then we find genuine worshiping that living and great God by the exercise of faith, but also the trials of faith, the assaults upon faith. Oh, what a beautiful description of the living church concerning her prayers in Song of Solomon 2, verse 14. O my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, let me hear thy voice and see thy countenance, for thy countenance is comely and thy voice is sweet. What an example we have of true spiritual worship in the life of that God-fearing Hezekiah. When the king of Assyria has come with a mighty army, surrounded Jerusalem, has mocked the God of Israel, and then Hezekiah has received the letter. And boys and girls, what has Hezekiah now done with that letter? He went to the temple, of course not in the temple, and he spread that letter out before the Lord. as if to say, Lord, read now this letter, what the enemy speaketh of thee, that thou art not able to deliver. It's a precious place when the true child of God, with the opened word, when he might point to the scriptures, telling the Lord what he has spoken. Oh, in the New Testament, what beautiful examples and instruction. The centurion of Matthew 8. Sent servants concerning a sick one. Jesus was coming, and he sent a messenger, Lord, I am not worthy that thou wouldest come under my roof. Deep impressions of his unworthiness and of whom Jesus was. Oh, Matthew 15. Another beautiful example of that genuine worshiping the Lord, the Canaanitish woman, with a daughter possessed of the devil. And she has come, fallen at his feet, laid her case before the Lord. Oh, her faith was tried. Lord, the dogs eat of the crumbs of the master's table. Oh, think of Mary, shortly before Jesus would be crucified, that they have come in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper. Not spoken one word, but come behind Jesus, washed his feet with her tears, dried with her long hair, and anointed him 300 pennyworth, and the room was filled. The examples of the women on the morning of the resurrection. Oh, Mary Magdalene, a weeping one, at the empty tomb. Why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? Mary. What beautiful examples and what profound instruction. And now for the living child of God, then they shall find their life declared in the Word of God. And when they may find their experience in their life, then they are given to rejoice with joy unspeakable concerning what they have found, then what a treasure that is. The spiritual worship and not to approach before the throne without a mediator. Taught to close our prayers for Christ's sake. In Jesus' name. And we can say it so easily. But we need to be led into the importance thereof. Each time by renewal. When we draw nigh unto the Lord. Unto his throne. As a sinful, unworthy sinner. Lord, no rights we have set in the part of gratitude. Still a sinner. Still a transgressor. Oh, in the true worship, then there are those times of profound bewilderment that we may still have a place. Let us first sing. Psalter 435, the stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 9. My soul with holy awe remember the Lord in brightest majesty. At Horeb's mount gave there his statutes and spake these words to hear and see. 435, 1, 2, 3, and 9.
Thank you.
the second commandment, how God must be worshipped, a spiritual imagery, spiritual worship, and now in the third place, spiritual instruction. But may not images be tolerated in the churches as books to the lady. And that word lady, boys and girls, that means the members in the church. In the time of the Reformation, then the church services were in Latin. And that was a language that was taught in the colleges, universities. But the ordinary people, boys and girls, fathers and mothers, they could not understand that language. And therefore the church has thought to instruct our people, then we must make images of the saints, also of spiritual things and matters, perhaps of Christ, that in that way the people may receive a little instruction. And now the instructors ask whether those images may be tolerated in the churches. And then the answer, then they did not say sometimes or under special circumstances, but a very clear answer, no, for we must not pretend to be wiser than God, who will have his people taught not by dumb images, but by the lively preaching of the word. We have examples in the Bible. David, in 2 Samuel 6, where he is not brought up the ark, as the Lord commanded by the Levites, but David has put it on a cart. And we know what has happened. A breach. Uzzah fell down dead. David was displeased. And the ark was not brought up to the city of God, to David's city. In the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, then two times, at the beginning and also at the end of the ministry, he has cleansed the temple to drive out the buyers and sellers. Then our instructors, they are stressing the worship service. Our reformers have stressed it, especially Calvin, that there must be a warrant in God's word concerning how that the Lord is worshipped. And now we live in a day, oh, how many churches they have departed from the preaching, the lively preaching. And when we read of lively, then we may also examine our hearts. A blessing when it may be lively in the heart of the preacher, but also lively in the hearts of the hearer. Thus it does not exclude, although the Lord has instituted the preaching, but it includes the reading, the means of grace, as we find it in God's holy word. And now it has been throughout all ages, but especially in the last ages, that many churches, they think that they are wiser than God. They need to keep their youth thus beside what the Lord has instituted and declared in His holy word, that God's word has a central place with His eye upon His kingdom and upon His glory. Then many have instituted a man-centered religion, that man entertains, man performs, work on the emotions, make people feel good, and the fruit, the spirit is grieved, and the church has become empty. It was mentioned last week in Rostern, a very sad commentary for a community when in the time span of about 3 years that two churches, the Anglican Church and the Lutheran Church, that they shall close their doors because of an aging and dwindling membership. When we depart from the true worship of the Lord, if the truth does not bind us together, and the Lord has promised that the truth shall be blessed, and where the truth may be brought, where there may be worship, as the Lord has instituted and commanded in His word, then the Lord shall see to it that there is also a youth that shall come faithfully up to God's house when it may be declared our deep fallen Adam and the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ and the way that the Lord leads His people. Thus, a special instruction, a special admonishment, that in the worshiping of the Lord, that the word has a central place, does not mean that when other avenues are sought, that God's word shall not be opened, but it becomes a man-centered religion. May the Lord keep. May the Lord lead. May the Lord keep us with the old ways and the old truth. Our last thought, a spiritual arguments, because at the end of this commandment, there are solemn words written, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. It has been said of old that when we sin and depart from the ways of the Lord before our dear children, then we sin double. We have the profound examples in the scriptures. If we think of the high priest Eli, not the courage to depose of his sons of their office, then we read that the priesthood was taken from out of his family and placed upon another family. And then Jeroboam, we read 16 times in the book of Kings, the sins of Jeroboam, which made Israel to sin. And after the fourth generation, then his family was destroyed and the kingship placed from another family. And then the solemn words which we read in 2 Kings 23, verse 25, it was in the time of that God-fearing King Uzziah, when the temple was cleansed, the book was found, a reformation, a great Passover was held. But then, what solemn words concerning King Manasseh, O Manasseh, he was before the throne. The Lord has converted him in prison, but as a fruit of his former life, then it is written, notwithstanding, the Lord turned not from the fierceness of his anger, wherewith his wrath was kindled against Judah, because of all the provocations that Manasseh has provoked him with, to the third and fourth generation. As a general rule, all what happens, that in one generation, that a generation no longer honors the Lord's Day, even happens that they are even atheists. Thus it is written in the second commandment, the profound responsibilities for fathers and mothers to, with the Lord's help, no, we cannot convert them, to impress upon their hearts who the Lord is, instill profound reverence for the house and the worship of the Lord. And the Lord has promised his blessing. No, it is not absolute. Can be those prodigal sons and daughters that have been instructed and that depart. The Lord remember the bleeding hearts of fathers and mothers. And concerning the third and the fourth generation, then usually children, they continue in the path of their parents, but even go further. But when children are given to repent, think of the children of Korah, they did not believe, they did not go along and approve of the way of their father, and therefore they were not consumed and they were blessed. And then there is added, then the great mercy concerning the iniquity, the third and fourth generation, but showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, does not say it is merited. And when we read, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, we find a similar manner of speech in Psalm 103, the verses 17 and 18. Thus that love that concerns a love for God's word and his worship, even in an outward way, because otherwise it would speak of merit, and there is no merit on man's side. Thus in the context, it speaks of how we worship the Lord personally, family, and in the midst of the church, when there is a departing from what the Lord has commanded, the Lord shall visit it. But when there is a walking in the ways of the Lord concerning his worship and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments, then the Lord has promised. In Psalm 103, the verses 17 and 18, that he shall continue to work from generation to generation. May that be an enticement, fathers and mothers, to spend much time in the busyness of life with your dear children concerning the things of the Lord. The Lord has promised it shall not return void, it shall be blessed. Matthew Henry, concerning this matter, has written, shall be unto children's children, provided they tread in the steps of their predecessors, piety, and keep his covenant as they did, then shall mercy be preserved to them, even to a thousand generations. Amen. Let us close. Lord, may we be given to turn each unto themselves. We have heard the second commandment, and perhaps many also at the end of this Lord's day. May they be given to lay it before thee, to say, Lord, I have been in thy house, heard of the Queen of Sheba, of her long journey, have heard of the second commandment, and still so cold and unfeeling, ach Lord, may it please thee, before the end of this Lord's day, that my heart may become soft, that it may begin to melt. Ah, thou as a people upon the earth that needs to continually ask that they may experience with Job, for God maketh my heart soft. Lord, we make amends in other week. We humbly ask thee, may it please thee, to watch over us, the mothers in the home with the children, at school, at work, on the way. Wilt thou keep us from harm and danger, take us under thy kind care and good protection, keep us from an unexpected, but above all, from an unreconciled death. Keep from sin and from temptation. May the daily labors be blessed. May the official labors be blessed. Bring us now safely to our dwellings and pardon us of all of our sins, also of this day, in speaking and listening. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 273, the stanzas 7, 8, and 10. Thy name shall abide, O Jehovah, through all generations renowned. The Lord is the judge of his people. His mercies forever abound. And what follows? 373, 7, 8, and 10. grace, save the blessing of the Lord, and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.